Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to yet another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank in Alpharetta. I've got a great guest today that's going to talk about value in businesses. But before we get to him, I want to remind you that, as you know, if your cell phone is bleeping at you in the background, you're connected today more than ever. Whether it's your friends, your family, or your life, Renaissance understands how you bank, offering the mobile banking services that you need. And Renaissance also knows that sometimes you need to speak to real people with real answers, and that's why Renaissance has more than 190 convenient locations throughout the South ready to serve you. For more information, go to renaissancebank.com, Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And I want to welcome David Shavzin to the show. David, I've known David for quite some time. He's with the Value Track, and he's serving folks in a really important way. David, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah. So tell everyone how you help business owners.
I try to help business owners focus on the value of their business so that when they are ready to exit in some form or fashion, and there's a lot of ways to do that we can touch on, that it is where they need. It's the up at a value where they can walk away and do whatever the next thing in their life is, buy another business or travel the world, whatever their thing is.
This is really important, right? I mean, and it's amazing how many business owners start a business and don't necessarily think of the end game, right?
That is right. I would say it's the vast majority. They love whatever that thing is they do. They're passionate about it. They got into business and they're just cranking and they're working and they're making good money. But that long term just isn't front of mind.
You know, I heard someone say one time, and of course, this is like Debbie Downer gets up to talk and says, you know, all of you need to know that whatever you're doing right now, you'll have to give it up. You know, so your business, you will have to give it up by definition, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't plan for that.
No. I always say you are going to exit your business, period. And then how do we optimize that? Yeah.
So why the Value Track? And tell us, you know, why you created the Value Track and where did all that come from?
Great question. And that really just was distilled down from 20 years of talking to and working with a lot of businesses and seeing the same situations, same issues, you know, regardless of industry, come through and come through and come through. And it gave me a way over the last several years to really think about it differently and educate our clients a little bit differently so they would really listen and you know, put it in a framework that we could follow step by step, basically. So it's 20 years of just seeing things over and over again and just putting it all together in a logical fashion.
So the names change, but the circumstances are very similar.
Circumstances are similar, and just a whole lot more education that I've got by working with so many clients that I bring to each successive client.
Now, tell us a little bit about how do you talk this through with a client when you're working on the value track, as you call it, and getting to that exit point?
So it starts really, I'll start backwards really at the point where we're talking to somebody who is only a prospective client, right?
All right.
Because that, you know, in any business, we've got prospects and then we've got to share with them how we might be able to help them and convince them of that. So really that discussion up front starts when they are not yet a client, as is what it is. And so it's really a matter of a little bit of education, right? One of the key things is helping them understand really what is value, what somebody from the outside will pay for when they look at your business and not what you think internally, right? So that's one piece of it. The other piece is letting people know that there's a whole lot of ways to exit. People tend to think at some point, I'll just turn over my business, you give me a check and we walk away. And there's so many other creative ways to do it. So there's a lot of that. And then the last thing I'll throw in at the moment is really it goes beyond that owner, whether they're married or not, whether there's family in the business, whether they have managers, senior managers in the business, customers. And so we really want to get a broader understanding and in the same breath, get a broader understanding for the business owner of a lot of possibilities about what that end game could be. So we just want to get them thinking about alternative ways to look at the sort of the running of the business and the exit from the business, right? And really share with them. Often it is sharing that maybe, you know, a lot of the things they've been doing have been very good, but we can get much more focused with it to hone in on that date, I'll say, of transition,
right?
You know, and the dollar amount. So it's a lot of talking, you know, learning, sharing, understanding, and getting a better understanding of their situation to help them then guide them and give them advice.
Sure. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with David Shavzin. David is the founder and president of The Value Track. David, you talked about how business owners are maybe invariably optimistic about the value of their business. Yeah, it's their baby. You would expect them to be, right? Mm-hmm. So there's nothing wrong with that necessarily. But where are they off base? I mean, when you start talking about value, where are they mistaken about that value? What are the specifics around that?
Yeah, there's two sides of that. The quick one is when we do ask, and we do you know what your business is worth? And maybe half the time they don't, and that's great, and that's honest. They just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And the other times, typically, it's some outrageous number. It's way beyond what it's really worth. And so I say that only to point out that they hear all kinds of things from a lot of people, and they get these ideas in their mind. And it's not good, because if it's a really high number, then they get complacent, and they really don't address it. So that's that. Where they're off is they're typically thinking revenue or profitability mm-hmm. when they think about value, right? So if my revenue is going up and going up and going up, I must be more valuable,
right?
Or the profitability, either way. And the reality is, when a buyer comes in and looks at the business, they're looking at a lot of different things, and they're looking at it very differently. So the value, you know, in my head as a business owner, is just that thought process has to change and accept sort of the stark approach that a buyer will take.
Sure.
Right? We say it often, very often, and the more sophisticated the buyers are, they're looking at the numbers, right? And they're looking for a business that puts off cash flow that they can grow. They don't care that you fell in love with your auto parts business, you know, or your restaurant business.
Sure.
Right? So you have to detach the emotion, unfortunately, and it's hard,
yep,
to get into a state of reality of, okay, yeah, I love it. I great. Blood, sweat, and tears, 30 years. Now let's see what somebody will really pay for it. And then how do we make that happen? How do we build that?
You know, David, I'm curious, just as an aside, but you're the guy that comes in and says, you know, you may love your baby, but it's just really not as pretty as you think it is. I mean, and there is a diplomatic way to talk about that consultants, a lot of folks out there have difficulty with in working with the folks they work with, right? Because sometimes you're the bearer of bad news. So maybe you can give all of us some advice on how to do that.
Yeah, well, two things. First of all, I always start with, this part of your baby looks really pretty.
There you
and
go.
Then we start there, right? And then we go to the ugly side. And we're joking about it, but honestly,
right,
for the most part, I mean, I see incredible businesses every day. It's,
sure,
it's just fine tuning a lot of those things. So,
right.
And yeah, it's just, it's a relationship, and you have to set right out front. I say this typically even before we engage. It's, look, if you're going to pay me, right? If you're going to give me some money, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And some of that is telling you what you really need to hear, even though you may not want to. I'll make one other point. What I find 99% of the time, for the most part, most of the business owners that I talk to, they know, let's say, 80 to 90% of what they ought to be doing.
Right.
And they just either can't get it all organized to make it all happen. Maybe they are hesitant sometimes to make some decisions or spend money and take that additional risk. So sometimes it's really just kind of sitting down, talking through it, and them having somebody to bounce these ideas off of.
Yeah, and I think the fact that a business owner hires you to begin with means that they're serious about their business, and they know that they don't know everything there is to know, and they're willing to accept that it's not perfect, right? So it's not. I mean, I'm overstating the case about the baby being ugly deliberately, but that folks hire you because they've got a serious objective at the end of the day, and you know facts are friendly, and they've got to believe in that, right?
Yeah, and that is, I think too often when they get to the point of hiring me, there's there's a problem, let's say, or maybe in an older business owner, a health issue, something like that. So we get a lot of that. It's really nice when they come in more proactively, you know, and they have a good business. It's just something they've woken up somehow and said, okay, now I really need, now I understand, right? I've got a few years or whatever it is, and I really need to work, you know, in a more methodical way to make it happen.
Sure.
So, yeah.
So identifying priorities to maximize value, how do you help businesses with that piece of it?
So it starts with, and we can talk about this, but it starts with just a lot of understanding of what's going on in the business, right? And then the first thing we talked about a moment ago is understanding where they want to go and why, understanding their priorities. So now we know what they're trying to get to. We have a good understanding of the business today. And then we try to get them to pick, it can change all the time, but pick a date. You know, I want to be out on this date and I want to walk away with these dollars. So now we have that long-term target. We know when, and we can start to prioritize, right? So when we go in and we do what we really call it a due diligence as if we're the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
We want to put that hat on because we want to, again, show, you know, all the good things and the gaps and what we can improve on. So now you have that equation. Mm. And now we can, you know, all right, here's where we are, because that valuation we do up front gives you a benchmark, right? Whether you like it or not, that's where we are.
Right.
You know, and then we can start working over time and work towards that goal. So the value, understanding that where we are today and why, is key. And when we sit down, it's fascinating. When we sit down and spend, we don't just give the client a number. We sit down and walk through the whole process, how the valuation is done, and what are all the factors, and it's eye-opening. And we can see it in the discussion. And so from that moment forward, they understand now what really drives value, and they change everything they do going forward. It's a wonderful thing to see.
That's fantastic. So the factors you mentioned, these are like maybe KPIs, and I'm speaking lingo now, key performance indicators, folks. But what are those factors? Unpack that a little bit.
Yeah. So the KPIs, the indicators, are the things you're measuring stem from, but we're looking at everything. So I put them in about 7 or 8 buckets of, you know, everything that happens in a business can go into these buckets, right? So for example, one of my favorites to talk about is competitive advantage, right? Mm. Sustainable competitive advantage. So how are you really, truly better than your competitors? You know, how can you not only talk about it, but demonstrate it? And so if I'm in a group or talk, you know, up speaking a lot, and I'll ask people, you know, are you really different? You know, and then I'll ask someone to jump in. But before they do, and I always pick on the banks, but I don't want to hear, oh, we have better customer service, right?
Right.
How are you truly different from the next 10 restaurants down the street or whatever it is? Because this is all with the perspective of the buyer. If I'm looking to buy a business and there's 10 auto parts stores lined up down the street, you know, why should I pick yours over the other one?
Sure.
Right. And so now that drives down into all kinds of issues fundamentally when we talk about difference. Maybe we're, you know, faster, better service, you know, less expensive, all kinds of different ways to actually truly differentiate. So that's one big thing. We look at all of the branding and marketing, that whole area of what we're doing. We're looking not at just financials in terms of revenue and profitability, but what's the state, just basics, what's the state of your bookkeeping and accounting?
Ah,
right?
That's a subject near to my heart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, when we look at clients, the first day we walk in, it's everywhere from, you know, pretty bad to, you know, not too bad. And I always make the point that, and most of these things I've talked about are good, smart, just business things to be doing regardless of exit planning.
Mm.
But if I've got good books, I can make better decisions.
Sure.
But also if I've got good books, the sale process, the negotiation process is going to go a lot easier, you know,
for sure.
If they're clean. So, yeah,
for sure. We're speaking with David Shavzin. David is the founder and president of The Value Track. So, David, I'm curious about what an engagement looks like with you. I mean, how does that flow? Somebody who's listening to this, they say, I want to talk to that guy and they're interested in hiring you. How does that, start out?
Yeah, it's first a discussion. Yep. And before we sign anything, we're talking and we're spending. There's no fee for any of that. So having a conversation, understanding what their needs are, and I try to make sure that I'm the right person to help me and the extended team over time. And then it's a 7-step process, and it starts out real briefly, you know, having a lot of conversation, like we had mentioned a moment ago, understanding where their heads are at, what's going on in the business, their priorities. We hit that valuation, early on. It's really inexpensive to do, but it's so valuable. That sets the tone. Out of that comes a series of recommendations. So based on their timeline now that we've talked about, and maybe approximately how many dollars they want to walk away with, we lay out priorities that are and recommendations based on that. So if they have, let's say it's 36 month, you know, we just kind of work through the list of priorities. We can't get to everything, obviously, but a very different set of recommendations if they have a 2-year time horizon, for example, than let's say 10 years, right? Because they're going to do different things, invest in different ways. Then we help them implement to the degree they need it. Over that time, then we're looking at the structure of the transaction, and then we can help them through the whole process. And it's those 7 steps. It flows. It's all integrated. It's key. And again, I'll repeat it. I know I am, but understanding value at the outset is the absolute key. It opens their eyes, and now we know where we are so that we can get to where we want to get to.
So you work, you mentioned that there are some specific issues, challenges maybe with a family business.
How many hours do we have, John?
Yeah, that's right. How much time do we have for dysfunction, right?
So I always make that joke. I'll say to some degree, all of us and all businesses are dysfunctional.
Absolutely.
Here, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, even if they only have one person, we all have right. our own level of dysfunction.
And you got it.
Hire people and you're growing quickly. You have all that. And so there's all kinds of dynamics there that, and then, yeah, absolutely the family business overlay. I had somebody recently, we were corresponding in a kind of in a prospective phase, and there's 3 generations of family and it's just chaotic. And she made the comment something like, yeah, we've got, you know, really unique kind of messed up family. And I wrote back and I said, look, I've got my family and I've seen hundreds over the last 20 years. We're all messed up in our own way. We're all dysfunctional in our own way. So yeah, it adds in.
Your sheep are no blacker than anyone else's, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Just different flavors, maybe different shades. I'm not going to get into detail on all the things going on in my family.
Right.
But, what some of the concrete things you see in there that are just, yeah, are interesting and they're just real, right? You've got,
right.
If you have mom and dad in the business, you know, and kids in the business, you know, you're bringing all the baggage, you know, as well as the family gets along. Honestly, you know, I know this brother's thinking, well, you pushed me off my bike when I was 12 years old kind of thing. And that never goes away. Or, you know, if there's a choice needed to be made for one of the kids to take on a certain role, you know, how is that done? What does the other one think about? Another one we see is you'll have parents and then a child in the business, adult child. There's siblings out of the business. And then we start talking about transfer from mom or dad or mom and dad to the child. It takes a lot of talk with the other siblings to get them to understand, if they're not, you know, business people, that the child's not getting, quote unquote, the business, right? The child's buying that business. They're thinking inheritance down the line, right?
Yes.
So understanding that when child buys the business, mom and dad's estate now has all that money and it gets split. So a lot of issues. I'll point out another one we see a lot of, and I get a lot of kids, I say kids, right? These kids, quote unquote, are 45 and 50 years old.
Right.
Seriously.
Right.
And the frustrations where mom and dad can't make a final decision, lay out a structure. They've been in the business 10 years and there's absolutely nothing laid out for me to take over. Now, mom and dad are saying, oh, you will. We have time. Don't worry. Right. And the problem is at some point, something's going to happen to mom and dad. And these kids are so frustrated in the business. So we do a lot of that, trying to help parents understand that they're not giving up their whole life and the whole business by starting the process mm-hmm. to engage the kids in the business a little bit more. So, yeah, family businesses are fun.
David, you have a I mean, you're talking language that I'm sure a lot of business owners listen to and mm-hmm. think that's for somebody that's about to sell their business. So I'm 10, 20 years more away from doing that. Why should I worry about any of this right now? Maybe later, David.
Great question, John. You know, I'll take that in two and give you some examples that really kind of illustrate, right? So
yeah.
Yes, we get a lot of referrals to the baby boomers, the older business owners. They've either just woken up or there's been a health issue, unfortunately, that kind of thing. But if you think about it this way, right? Investing 101, if you started putting money into your IRA when you were 18, right?
Yeah.
When my girls were in high school babysitting, we made them put a few dollars in, right? Mm. That money, you know, has years and decades to build. They're going to be set out. And it's the same with the business. For you to work on building that value, the earlier you start, the better. I've got a client, young client started with, she was 2 years in business. And we've been working the last year and a half. She's growing phenomenally well. And we're following the value track, if you will. We're looking at all the basics, all the infrastructure from the outset with that focus on how do we make this as valuable as possible. 4 years in business, and we're already looking at talking with investors. But it's been built the right way in all these ways that we've been talking about. So, but typically, unfortunately, people aren't starting early enough. And let me say, put it this way too. When we talk about exit planning or exit strategy, all these things, 98% of that is just running your business well.
Sure.
All these things we've talked about are just doing the things you should be doing anyway in your business.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, of course. And people, when they hear exit planning, I think they think death, wills, they think the ultimate departure, maybe, and they don't think about exactly what you said, which is, hey, it's just running the business better today, where I am today.
Just starting to think now, think early. I actually was at a talk and I asked that question, and somebody in the back of the room really honestly did, scream out that death and funerals is what they're thinking. The other thing is this, it takes time. Even if you say, I want to exit today, it can be 18 months, 24 months,
right.
36 months. So saying, oh, I got a few years. No, you don't. It's now to start.
And even if you've got a fairly small business, and there is no business that is not really small when it comes to complexity internally, right? Mm-hmm. And all the different aspects of that business. But even if you've got a fairly quote unquote small business, it can take a while to those changes that you really need to make for those changes to surface in terms of the numbers and the value.
Yeah, absolutely. Like anything, it depends what the initiatives are specifically, but if you're trying to build sales, that can take time. The other quick just technical issue when we're looking at valuation is typically a potential buyer is going to look and wait much more the past year as opposed to the past couple of years. We typically look 3 years backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the business, but especially the smaller ones, they're not going to count on a whole lot of going forward. So you may, as the business owner, say, oh my God, we can do this and this and this. And they want to see it now.
Of course.
So at any given moment, you're resting on, in terms of value, what you've done to date. So to your point, you've got to get started. The earlier you start, the more track record you can show.
Talk about the businesses out there that are going through or contemplating going through a sale process. I mean, what are the misconceptions that you see that folks have about that process?
There are a lot, highlighting one is, again, I go back to value. So early on, hopefully we've set the expectation, the timeline, like I mentioned before, we've got a business now that we're really at about 16, 17 months into it from the day we started, and we're still not done. So it takes a lot of time. As I say, if you think in 2, 3, 4 years, get started, we can start working slowly through the process. The other thing, and we touched on it earlier, the cleaner your books are, the cleaner all your information and data is, it makes our job easier and it shortens the timeline because it might take a few months easily to pull together essentially a marketing package.
Sure.
And in that, we try to minimize the distraction, but you as the business owner will be distracted from the business. So it's going to take a lot of time. Another big one is don't get complacent. So if we're in the middle of negotiations with somebody, you can't take your eye off the ball on the business, which happens a lot.
Sure.
Right. You got to keep this thing going as if you're going to own it for 10 years. And so that process, we do a lot of that education up front as we start into the actual sale process, but it's understand it's going to take time, understand that we're going to go to market in a big way and try to cast a wide net to find potential buyers, but whatever, they're going to come up with a number and it's going to be, half or two thirds of what we told you. And it's going to start the negotiation process. So a lot of that, I think it's setting the expectation for a lot of frustration and the timeline.
Now, do you work with companies on the actual sale process? Do you advise them on the actual sale process or do you just get them to the point where they're ready for that?
Yeah. Really good question too. Yeah. So we do. The short answer is yes.
Okay.
And it's a team of partners that I've got, depending on the situation, who we use for who, each part of the steps here in the process.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. Cool.
And sometimes internally, it's an internal transfer sometimes. So family,
Yeah, sure. Yeah, of course. So David, talk a little bit about, success stories. I always like to hear about success stories that folks have gone through with the folks they serve.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll try to shade a little bit of the private data, but
sure.
And it's interesting too. So I'll take success in a couple different perspectives. So one is the client I mentioned earlier. Now just 4 years in business is in right now 4 or 5 states already.
Oh wow!
Just insane growth, brilliant, driven, and it's a good example for me of not just sort of my educating the client, but it's also the client being open to advice, right? And so working well together that way. And so, like I say, that kind of growth, and the growth has been in that time from year one to year four, something like 400%. And so by thinking about value in a methodical way, as we've talked about, she's put herself in that position now to be in a really comfortable position, actually looking at investors to come in. So that's just great. The other ones I look at as success, taking a client that we're working with, the parent and child, and that transition, and we've been working with them for a few years now already. And it's really interesting because, again, coming back to the especially I'd say the baby boomers who haven't been through it, it takes a lot to get across all of what we've talked about today. So when I see the progress year by year, the parent getting more comfortable with the fact that the child can really take over the business, mm-hmm. right, and starting to talk about structure, they still have a few years to go. But to me, that's already a success because they're on track and she understands it in that process. And it's just, we'll continue to help them, but it's almost a done deal right now. One more quick one, because this is a great method too of doing a transition and getting out. We helped two small accounting firms merge, and the owners of the firms were about 25 years apart, 20, 25, better be careful, in age.
Oh, wow.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the older one's not rushing to get out, but mm-hmm. now they're going to they're merging. They are building and building and building and building. So the older one has the built-in exit strategy. It's there, right? And so time comes, and the younger one buys the other one out. They've built the business, built the value, and they're not running around at that time having us go and look for somebody to buy it.
Right.
So all those are different variations on a theme, and they show different ways to make these things happen. And it all starts with, just focusing a little bit on it, what we want to do and prioritizing. So, those are a few.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Great work, David. David Shavzin, he is the founder and president of The Value Track. David, for those that would like more information, would like to be in touch with you, tell them how they can do that.
Yeah, they can reach me at 770-329-5224. The website is getonthevaluetrack.com. And you can email me at david@getonthevaluetrack.com.
That's a compelling URL. I like that. Yeah, it's a call to action, right?
It is. Had a great branding support, actually.
That's super. David Shavzin, he's the founder and president of the Value Track. David, thanks for being with us.
Oh, appreciate it, John. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Folks, if you need some other kind of help, and maybe that's help that David would like you to get, which involves maybe bookkeeping, some administrative tasks, marketing, presentations, well, go engage a smart and reliable Office Angel. They're not a temp agency or a placement firm. Office Angels matches your business support needs with angels who have the talent and experience necessary to help you maintain and grow your business on an ongoing or as needed basis. Your terms, your timeline. They lend a hand when needed, and they fly off when the job is done. Find out more at officeangels.us or call Chief Executive Angel S.E. Escobedo at 770-442-9246. Folks, just a reminder, you can listen to the show every Tuesday morning live at 11:30, and we sometimes have special shows throughout the week as well. But if you miss any of our live shows, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, Overcast, Podbeam, YouTube, just about anywhere you want to look, folks. Get the idea there. Just search for North Fulton Business Radio, and you will find us. Sometimes you'll find us under our – network. Thank you. Our network, Business Radio X. Sometimes if you search for Business Radio X, you'll find us there, and you'll find our a lot of other shows that we do across our national network. You can also follow us, this show, particularly here on social media, North Fulton BRX, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. We're on all three of those platforms, so check us out there. So for my guest, David Chavzin, I'm John Ray. Join me next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.
Renaissance Rewards Extra is the checking account that checks all the boxes. Roadside assistance? Check. Cell phone insurance? Check. More than 400,000 local shopping discounts? Check. Up to $25 per month in ATM refunds and a great rate? Check. All in an easy-to-use mobile app. To open an account or find out more about Renaissance Rewards Extra Checking, go to renaissancebank.com or visit us at any of our more than 190 locations throughout the South. Renaissance Bank. Understanding you. Member FDIC. Equal Housing Lender.